Today, the inflation noose drives policy reversal. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Welcome to this post covering finance and property news with a distinctively Australian flavour. Well, let's face it, the rampant rise in oil prices is a big headache for politicians around the world, as the lift in prices is driving inflation. Just remember, of course, that oil was already on the up before Ukraine kicked off. It's being used as a bit of an excuse at the moment. And if you're going to make an unpopular policy change, then better do it late on a Friday before a holiday weekend, the good old putting out the trash. Certainly the price of oil is a problem, and it seems that any sell-off in oil is only proving to be a buyback opportunity amid one highly volatile energy market, perhaps the most volatile ever. Crude prices jumped nearly 3% late last week, and nearly 9% on the week, as the market was hijacked once again by a supply scare on news that the European Union may phase in a ban on Russian oil imports. Gains in oil were limited earlier in the day as Chinese refiners appeared to be set to cut crude throughout this month by around 6%. The reduction would be a scale last seen in the early days of the COVID-19 pandemic 2 years ago, according to industry sources. But news of the proposed EU ban on Russian oil promoted buyers to swoop in on more lots of crude futures and convince some shorts to cover their positions as well ahead of the Good Friday holiday, which meant a longer weekend for US markets. Heading into the long weekend, oil was vulnerable to some profit taking, but a major pullback is still unwarranted given the supply situation and as economic slowdown concerns are still far from happening, said Ed Moyer, analyst at online trading platform Onya. Now, according to the New York Times, the European Union was moving towards adopting a phased-in ban of Russian oil to give Germany and other countries time to arrange alternative supplies. A phased-in ban would force European buyers to seek alternative sources, some of which in the near term is being met by strategic petroleum reserve releases. But in the future, more supplies coming out of the ground will be required, Andrew Lipow of Lipow Oil Associates in Houston said. Russia's energy ministry said that it was limiting access to its statistics on oil and gas production and exports. But as we discussed yesterday, Russian production is falling significantly as major global trading houses plan to curtail crude and fuel purchases from Russia's state-controlled oil companies in May. And on Wednesday, the International Energy Agency warned that from May onwards, roughly 3 million barrels per day of Russian oil could be shut due to sanctions or buyers' voluntary shunning Russian cargoes. But then there are real-world consequences, and then the word inflation, and lots of it. And inflation is seen as a significant liability for Democrats heading into the US November midterm elections. In fact, the president's popularity has slipped, with his public approval standing near all-time lows of 41%, according to a recent Reuters Ipsos opinion poll. Last Thursday, President Joe Biden had to defend his handling of the US economy amid a 40-year high spike in inflation that he blamed, in part, on Russia's invasion of Ukraine. Speaking at North Carolina Agricultural and Technology State University in Greensboro, Biden promoted his efforts to strengthen US supply chains, accelerate American production of semiconductors, and ease dependence on foreign makers. But he spent a considerable amount of his speech talking about his handling of the economy, a factor in the dip in his job approval ratings that could certainly spell trouble for Democrats in November congressional midterm elections. The Biden administration has taken several steps to tame surging gasoline prices and inflation, made worse by crude oil spikes due to the war in Ukraine and subsequent sanctions on Russia by the United States and its allies. Biden said jobs growth had accelerated in his first year of office, including 365,000 new manufacturing jobs, and that the unemployment rate had dropped sharply. Dogging Biden, however, are persistent increases in prices across the board. I know that we're still facing the challenge of high prices and inflation, said Biden. Putin's invasion of Ukraine has driven up gas prices all over the world, and he said food prices have been impacted as well by a drop in exports of Ukraine wheat. Biden called on Congress to give final approval to the Bipartisan Innovation Act to boost spending for emerging technologies and American manufacturing and to compete with China. But one backflip is noteworthy, the one relating to plans for oil and gas development on federal lands. During a campaign event in Hudson, New Hampshire, back in February 2020, Biden told the audience, and by the way, no more drilling on federal lands, period, 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 period. Speaking later, he reconfirmed this stance.
Today is Climate Day at the White House, and which means that today is Jobs Day at the White House. The federal government owns and maintains an enormous fleet of vehicles, as you all know. With today's executive order, combined with the Buy American executive order I signed on Monday, we're going to harness the purchasing power of the federal government to buy clean, zero-emission vehicles that are made and sourced by union workers right here in America. With everything I just mentioned, this will mean 1 million new jobs in the American automobile industry. 1 million. The executive order I'll be signing establishes a White House Office of Domestic Climate Policy, and it'll be led by one of America's most distinguished climate leaders, former EPA Director Gina McCarthy. As the head of the new office and my national climate advisor, Gina will chair the National Climate Task Force, made up of many members of our cabinet, to deliver a whole-of-government approach to the climate crisis. This is not — it's not time for small measures. We need to be bold. So let me be clear. That includes helping revitalize the economies of coal, oil, and gas and power plant communities. We have to start by creating new good-paying jobs, capping those abandoned wells, reclaiming mines, turning old brownfield sites into new hubs of economic growth, creating new good-paying jobs in those communities where those workers live, because they help build this country. We're never going to forget the men and women who dug the coal and built the nation. We're going to do right by them, make sure they have opportunities to keep building the nation in their own communities and getting paid well for it. While the whole-of-government approach is necessary, though, it's not sufficient. We're going to work with mayors and governors and tribal leaders and business leaders who are stepping up and the young people organizing and leading the way. My message to those young people is you have the full capacity and power of the federal government. Your government is going to work with you. Now, today's executive order also directs the Secretary of the Interior to stop issuing new oil and gas leases on public lands and offshore waters wherever possible. We're going to review and reset the oil and gas leasing program. Like the previous administration, we'll start to properly manage, unlike it, we're going to start to properly manage lands and waterways in ways that allow us to protect, preserve them, the full value that they provide for us for future generations. Let me be clear, and I know this always comes up, we're not going to ban fracking. We'll protect jobs and grow jobs, including through stronger standards like controls from methane leaks and union workers and willing to install the changes. Unlike previous administrations, I don't think the federal government should give handouts to big oil to the tune of $40 billion in fossil fuel subsidies. And I'm going to be going to the Congress asking them to eliminate those subsidies. We're going to take money and invest it in clean energy jobs in America. Look, this executive order I'm signing today also makes it official that climate change will be at the center of our national security and foreign policy.
So Biden had pledged several times during his presidential campaign to halt federal drilling auctions, but that effort actually had been stymied by a court challenge from Republican-led states. And now the inflation problem is creating a series of backflips, including one relating to plans for oil and gas development on federal lands, as now the Biden administration has said that it has resumed plans for oil and gas development on those federal lands. Granted, the plan calls for the government to lease fewer acres for drilling than initially proposed and charge steeper royalties to oil and gas companies and assess the climate impact of developing the acreage. But the announcement by the Interior Department made late on Friday before the holiday weekend is the latest move to reform the federal oil and gas leasing program since Biden took office in January 2021. The administration has faced ongoing pressure to address high energy prices driven by the economic rebound from the pandemic and Russia's invasion of Ukraine. Friday's announcement would make roughly 144,000 acres available for oil and gas drilling through a series of lease sales. That's an 80% reduction from the footprint of land that had been under evaluation for leasing, the Interior Department said in the statement. And it will also require companies to pay royalties of 18.75% of the value of extracted oil and gas products, up from 12.5%. How we manage our public lands and waters says everything about what we value as a nation, said Interior Secretary Deb Haaland, who added that the move would begin to reset how and what we consider to be the highest and best use of America's resources for the benefit of all current and future generations. The agency will issue final environmental assessments and sale notices for upcoming oil and gas lease sales as early as next week, including ensuring tribal consultation and broad community input, the Interior Department added. The proposal was quickly denounced by several environmental groups, with one calling it a reckless failure of climate leadership. The Center for Biological Diversity, an environmental group, slammed the Biden administration's decision. The Biden administration's claim that it must hold these lease sales is pure fiction and a reckless failure of climate leadership, said Randy Spivak, public lands director for the group. It's as if they're ignoring the horrors of firestorms, floods, and mega droughts and accepting climate catastrophes as business as usual. But the move, of course, was praised by the energy industry as a step in the right direction, but says it did not go far enough. To unleash American energy, the Biden administration should continue to hold ongoing lease sales pursuant to the Mineral Leasing Act, issue permits more expeditiously, and provide consistent regulatory certainty, said Anne Bradbury, head of the American Exploration and Production Council, whose members, by the way, include ConocoPhillips, Pioneer Natural Resources, and Chesapeake Energy. So, on one hand, you can understand the short-term imperative ahead of the November polls, but given recent reports from the IPCC underscoring the need for urgent action to avoid a greater catastrophe, this is, well, in my view, a disappointing outcome, but frankly, it's not unexpected. And once again, it shows that talk is cheap, so very cheap, and it's much easier to do things in the short term to try and win votes than to take the decisions needed for the longer term security of the planet. And that, of course, is a big problem. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.